This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
At that time, nonetheless. So you need to get married at 20. Yalla, bismillah, as per your needs and as per your abilities. Okay, so what's the story with regards to his marriage? Well, he got married to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. We all learned in Sunday school or in your maktab, madrasa, etc. MashaAllah, Khadija was the one who proposed marriage to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, the sisters, they get excited at that. MashaAllah, way to go, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Jayid, she's doing it for the woman, mashaAllah. She proposed to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The answer is yes. And that is the famous narration. So what was the story? Okay. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is said that he was grazing animals for Khadija's sister by the name of Hala. Khadija's sister by the name of Hala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was grazing her animals. And so she praised his honesty, she praised his work, his working for her, to her sister Khadija. And so Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was a businesswoman, and so she was looking for somebody honest to work with her, work for her, etc. And so Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she offered the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this position, and so she hired him. And he was now working for her, walhamdulillah. And the norm of the business was that you take these caravans and you go out and you sell the goods and then you come back and like a profit sharing type of arrangement, mudaraba type of arrangement they had. She sent one of her servants by the name of Maysara with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this Maysara, he came back and he really praised the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she noticed, obviously, the prophets were nice and good, as opposed to many others that she previously hired, that they would eat up the money. Oh no, business was bad, etc., etc. Come with all of their excuses. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her due, and he was honest in that, walhamdulillah. Note, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was previously married, not one time, but two times. She was previously married twice. She had children. There's debate with regards to the number of children. Some mention two, some mention three, etc., etc. One of the children that she had is son by the name of Hind. Side note, the name Hind can be a name used for a boy, can be a name used for a girl. So the boy named Hind or the girl named Hind, it applies both ways, walhamdulillah. And so she was married twice before. She had children from her first marriage, no children from her second marriage. Second husband was rather well-to-do, was rather rich, and he passed away, didn't have any heirs, etc. And so she inherited a lot, walhamdulillah. What was her age? Majority of the ulama state that she was 40. That's the famous narration, etc., that she was at the age of 40. We have another narration which states that she was 28. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If we look at the number of children that she had from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so they had Qasim, they had Zainab, they had Ruqayya, they had Kulthum, they had Fatima, they had another son by the name of Abdullah who passed away in infancy, etc. Similarly, with regards to Qasim, he also passed away in infancy. So, six children they had, subhanallah. It's not normal. We're not saying it's impossible, but it's not the norm. It's not the norm that a woman gets married at the age of 40 and she goes on to have six children, right? And so that factor there, or factoring that matter, many ulama have stated, maybe she was 28 and not 40, especially since we do have a narration of 28. Nonetheless, whatever it was, either way, she was still older than the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Either way, she had previously been married twice, alhamdulillah. So Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she is taken aback by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's honesty. Underline honesty, 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 honesty. SubhanAllah. What a blessed marriage he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with Khadija. That if we go with the narration of 40, then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only remarried when he was around 50 years of age. SubhanAllah. So 25 years Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. He never married any other woman. In his prime of his youth, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never married any other woman. From 25 to 50, he is with Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. It was a blessed marriage. He will remember Khadija and the favors of Khadija upon him. After they got married, he lived in the same house of Khadija. He moved into Khadija's house, subhanallah. And not only that, his cousin Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, because Ali's father Abu Talib, he was going through some financial issues, etc. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taken Ali, and Ali stayed in the house of Khadija, being looked after by Khadija and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. I mean, think about this, that you get married to this woman and you move into her house, you move into her home. After the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was anointed as a prophet, then he stopped doing the business, etc. Jaid, who was providing for him, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, from her wealth, etc., she was providing with regards to many matters. Walhamdulillah. And not only that, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam brings Ali radiallahu ta'ala to live with him there in Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha's house, and she accepted all of that. Walhamdulillah. Subhanallah. Jaid, she was no doubt she was a blessed woman. She was the first Muslim, the first Muslim, the first believer in the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she would say that I was never jealous with regards to marriage and wives and all of these matters, like I was with regards to Khadija. And I never saw her, I never met her. She wasn't around when I was married to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. Imagine, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is saying that I was most jealous of Khadija. And Khadija was not a co-wife at the time, subhanAllah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mention her. If something was slaughtered, he would send these gifts, send food, etc., to the friends of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, etc., subhanAllah. So Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, after she was taken aback by the character and the manners of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she sent a proposal to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via her friend. Her name is stated as Nufaysa. And so Nufaysa comes to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, I mean, you now, your age, etc., 25, I mean, why don't you get married? And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, things are not yet ready, etc. So she said that, well, what if, for example, there's a woman and she's beautiful and she's wealthy and she comes of good family, etc. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I mean, you know somebody like that? I mean, is somebody like that interested or whatever? And she says, yes, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Jayid, not only is she wealthy, not only is she beautiful, she's also technically, you know, his boss, right? She is technically his employer, subhanAllah, right? And look here, look at how proactive Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was. She saw the good quality in
Sheikh, your audio went up.
With regards to this matter here, and she proposed and she got married to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Maybe we know people, maybe you have a relative, you have a family member, etc. You know, she wanted to propose to a certain individual, but she didn't, and qadar Allah, the boat sailed away. Jayid, the ship sailed away. Allahu musta'an, Jayid. And so Khadija was proactive. Later on in history, I think it was Anas ibn Malik, his daughter, said like a bad word with regards to certain women who would come to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and propose to him. And so this girl said, I mean, what a like loose woman, what a bad woman. She's got no haya, no shame, etc. So Anas said to her that no. Rather, she was smart. She was intelligent. She knew what she wanted and she went for it. Imagine if the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted that proposal and then she became one of the mothers of the believers. Jayid, small risk to take, Jayid, and great advantage to be gained if, for example, he accepts sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted this proposal, walhamdulillah, and thus they were married. And we also find that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, when his daughter Hafsa, when her husband had passed away, Umar had come to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and he asked Uthman, you know what, why don't you get married to my daughter? Her husband's passed away, etc. Why don't you marry her? And similarly, he went to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, and he offered his daughter in marriage to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. showing that Omar was proactive with regards to the matter. Sometimes the brother, he's got a daughter, she's 18, 20, 25, she's 30, etc. But he's quiet about the matter. He doesn't approach anyone, doesn't speak to anyone. He's not proactive with regards to the matter. Allah musta'an mushkila, shayid. And many a times, his daughters, they are frustrated with him. They're frustrated. Dad, I mean, speak to somebody, do something, do something. Don't just sit there. Allah musta'an, shayid. So that was Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Also in the Noble Quran, Sahib Madian, he offered his daughter in marriage to Musa alayhi salam. He says that in lieu, mashallah, you are a good guy, you are a strong guy, etc. I offer one of my daughters in marriage to you. And Musa alayhi salam accepted, walhamdulillah. So Musa helped, remember in that story, Musa helped those two girls with the water and stuff like this here. And what did he gain in return? Mashallah, he found shelter, he got a job, he got a wife, walhamdulillah. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was honest. And what did he gain? He gained marriage of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Honesty is the best policy. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatallah. Shayid. And we also learn from that to be proactive. Walhamdulillah. They went on and they had, mashallah, Qasim. That's why our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is called Abu al-Qasim. They had a daughter by the name of Zainab, then Ruqayya, Kulthum Fatima. And they also had a son by the name of Abdullah. Abdullah, so Qasim, and then many mentioned after him was Abdullah. Abdullah is given the nicknames of Tahir and Tayyib. Tahir and Tayyib. In total, from Khadija, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had 6 children. 2 sons, Qasim Abdullah, and 4 daughters, walhamdulillah. Every one of them, they passed away during the life of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except Fatima. Allah musta'an. Ashaddu an-nasi bala'an al-anbiya thumma al-amthal fal-amthal. The people who go through the greatest trials and tribulations and difficulties are who? The carpenters, the IT professionals, the mashayikh, the imams? No, the anbiya. The anbiya. And then those who are close, those who are closest and closest to them. Jayid. Then those who are closest and closest to them. Meaning in piety, in righteousness, etc., etc. We said that Aisha was like jealous with regards to Khadija, even though they never met. We covered the age of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. We saw the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was honest. Walhamdulillah. Jayid. And this marriage of 25 years they were married, subhanAllah, Jayid. When the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam lost Khadija, it was extremely difficult upon him. Extremely difficult upon him. Remember that year, what did the historians call that year? Aam al-Huzn, the year of sadness. The year of sadness. The year that Khadija passed away, Allah musta'an. So imagine that close relationship that they had, subhanAllah. That same year he lost Khadija, his pillar, internal pillar of support within the home, etc. And then he also lost his uncle Abu Talib, that external pillar of support. Thus it was called Aam al-Huzn, the year of sadness, Allah musta'an. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this is the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's marriage to Khadija. He was at the age of 25. And Khadija had gifted the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam a slave by the name of Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha. And later on, Zayd ibn Haritha was set free by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there's a story of love that we must cover here, that Zayd ibn Haritha, he was captured by some people and eventually he was sold in slavery. He was an Arab. And so now he's a slave in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now his master and then sets him free. Walhamdulillah. Excellent. Zayd's father and uncle, they get word that Zayd is in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And so they eventually come there to Makkah and they find Zayd. MashaAllah, imagine the father has found his long lost son. The uncle has found his long lost nephew. They want to take him back to their tribe, to the people. His mother is missing him, etc., etc. SubhanAllah. Zayd ibn Haritha, radiallahu ta'ala an, he chose to remain with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father and his uncle had come and they offered the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to pay whatever it might be, etc., to seek Zayd's freedom. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, we don't need any of that. It's up to Zayd. Zayd wants to go, ala barakatillah, he can leave. And Zayd wants to remain behind, he can remain behind. Imagine that, subhanAllah. What type of personality our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have been? Remember, this is all before he was even a prophet. Important. This is before him even being a Nabi. I mean, obviously, if he was a Rasul, if he was a Nabi at the time, Zayd would say, no, I can't come with you people. I'd rather stay with the Rasul of Allah. I need to learn from the Rasul of Allah, my Jannah, etc., etc. But right now, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a Nabi. He's not a Rasul. Jayid? And so, imagine his character, subhanAllah, even before prophethood. How magnetic his character must have been that Zayd chose to remain as a khadim, like a servant to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not a slave, as a servant to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of going with his father and his uncle, Allah musta'an. That there is a story of love, subhanAllah. Jayid, that there is testimony with regards to the akhlaq and the character of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we know that later on, Zayd, he was a very, very close companion to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He accompanies the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Ta'if. And we even have some narrations from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that maybe if Zayd was alive, maybe the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have put him in charge. Maybe he would have been the first caliph after the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah. Right? So that was Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So two love stories. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second one, the love of these two, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his servant Zayd ibn Haritha, his freed slave Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Excellent. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, let's move on bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is 25, married to Khadija. Fast forward 10 years, he's now at the age of 35 years of age, Jayid. And the foundations of the Kaaba, they were weakened with a flood. Remember, Mecca al-Mukarramah, it's in a valley. You find up till today, subhanAllah, Jayid, that if there's a heavy downpour, etc., you find that the roads of Mecca are flooded, subhanAllah, Jayid. Why? Because drainage is almost non-existent, Jayid. You find many pictures of people swimming around the Kaaba. Look them up on Google. People swimming around the Kaaba, subhanAllah, Jayid. So, ala kulli hal. So the foundations of the Kaaba were weak, the structure was weak, and so the Quraysh decided that we need to rebuild the Kaaba. And so what we will do is we will double the height of the Kaaba, because at that time it was almost on the height of any average man. So they said, no, we're going to double the height of the Kaaba. And the Kaaba at that time was rectangular in shape. But because it is said that the Quraysh didn't have enough of halal funds in the rebuilding of the Kaaba, so thus they built it in the cube-shaped or the square-shaped that we are familiar with. They also raised the door and they added that like spout there, that if water, they put like a roof there, and if water gathers, etc., then water can be drained out. Well, alhamdulillah. So this was their plan to rebuild the Kaaba. But in the rebuilding, etc., they had a small dispute. What's the dispute about? It's about the black stone. Remember, it was a white stone. It was a white stone at one time. Jayid. Well, now it's a black stone. And so each one, our tribe, we're going to put the black stone in its place. No, we. So there's this dispute. And eventually one of them said, well, okay, the next person who enters the masjid, enters the haram, he will decide the matter. And who appeared? Al-Amin, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they saw the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, ah, this is Al-Amin. You know, it's good. They were all happy with him. And they said, he will decide the matter. Walhamdulillah. Now, that's the image there of somebody swimming around the Kaaba. Subhanallah. Right? And so, Al-Amin will decide, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his wisdom, subhanAllah, Jayid, that he said, okay, we have this like material here, let us put the black stone upon it, and all of the different tribes, you hold different areas of this fabric, and then we will lift it up, and then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who placed the black stone into its position, and everyone was pleased, everyone was happy, walhamdulillah. Side note, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, if you look at the casket that the black stone is encased within, Not everything inside there is the black stone, right? So somebody might punch somebody and hit somebody and push somebody, etc., etc. Don't do that, obviously, right? And then he eventually gets to the black stone, and then he puts his head in there and he kisses. He might miss the black stone. He puts his hand inside there and he might miss the black stone. All that we have that which remains of the black stone are eight small stones, and they are like encased in like some sort of resin or cement or something like that. So 1, 2, 3, 8 small stones there. Those are the original fragments that we have of the black stone. Alhamdulillah. So not everything inside there is the black stone. And you can Google up bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, you will find the images, walhamdulillah. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sorted out this problem here with his wisdom, masha'Allah, tabarakallah. Important. This incident here raised the prestige of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Remember, the year our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, the year of the elephant, this raised the prestige of Makkah al-Mukarramah, because the elephants were destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the birds, and the birds destroyed with their stones, destroyed the army of Abraha. So Makkah was highly regarded amongst the people. It was raised in its prestige. And the people of Makkah, the Quraysh especially, they were also raised in prestige because of that incident there. Excellent. Fast forward 35 years from that time. Now the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst the people with this decision of his and him placing the black stone there in its place, etc., he has now risen in prestige, walhamdulillah. Also, whose family is looking after the Kaaba? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, they are the ones who are in charge of the Kaaba. Excellent, mashallah. And you can see the 8 stones there, walhamdulillah, with regards to the black stone, mashallah, tabarakallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, let's move on bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. And this is like maybe a sign, now the rebuilding of the Kaaba, etc. Maybe there's some symbolism here that the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam is like being renewed or revived. Jayid. Jayid, excellent. Alhamdulillah. Also around this time here, when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches the age of 40, so 5 years later, he is now at the age of 40. Also, Fatima was born around 5 years before prophethood. Fatima was born 5 years before prophethood. When the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches the age of 40, just before him receiving revelation, there was also on the wider international scene something which was important that was occurring. There was a new emperor in Constantinople, no longer Rome, not Rome, rather the Roman emperor, his capital was in Constantinople, the Eastern Byzantine Empire. Heraclius was his name. In the year 610, according to the common era, 610, the same year that our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins receiving revelation, in the year 610, Heraclius is crowned the new Byzantine emperor in Constantinople. Jayid, Heraclius, Jamil. What do you know about Heraclius? Heraclius is the one who later on, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would send a letter to Heraclius, inviting him to Al-Islam, Jayid. And then Heraclius, in the famous hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, he asked, are there any like traders, any Arabs around, etc.? And then he's told that yes, and there's a caravan and stuff like this. He meets up with them. And who does he speak with? He speaks to Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan, who was an enemy to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up to that moment there, Jayid. Abu Sufyan then answers, and he answers honestly, and he says that, you know what, this is Muhammad, and this is what he's come with, etc., etc. And so there's a long conversation between Heraclius and Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala. We know he eventually embraced Islam, alhamdulillah. Who embraced Islam? Abu Sufyan. As for Heraclius, we do have some narrations, etc., etc. Take them with a huge pinch of salt. With regards to this Heraclius, Ajib, if you go to Turkey, You will find in Istanbul the Masjid of Muhammad al-Fatih. Muhammad al-Fatih, the conqueror of Constantinople. Jayed. So his Masjid, the Masjid of Muhammad al-Fatih, it is built upon the Church of the Holy Apostles. The Church of the Holy Apostles. And the Church of the Holy Apostles, that's where Heraclius was buried. Jayed, subhanAllah, Jayed. Ajib, ajib, ajib. And so imagine, today, upon the grave site of Heraclius, stands the great Masjid of Muhammad al-Fatih. Walhamdulillah. Jayed. With regards to that Heraclius, then he had rebelled against the previous emperor, Phocas. He had him beheaded and had his genitalia removed. Allahumma stan. But this Heraclius, he was good in that. I mean, good for the Byzantines in that. The Byzantine Empire and the Persian Empire, the Sassanid Empire, they were at war with one another. And up till this moment here, the Persians, they had the upper hand. They were going through their golden period, Jayed. And so they had the upper hand. The Persians had the upper hand, Jayed. Up till this moment now, Heraclius takes over and he eventually regains all the lost territories of the Byzantines. He restored the lost territories of the Byzantines, and he also restored the true cross to Jerusalem, to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre there in Jerusalem. So this holy cross, the true cross rather, it was supposedly taken by the Persians, and Heraclius eventually got it back in his battles with the Persians. So he's the new guy in charge, Jayed. And something ajib about him is that he got married to his niece. Now, even amongst the Christians, this was something which was taboo. He got married to his niece, Allahumma sta'an, his sister's daughter. And the historians mentioned that the offspring, they were sickly and they were disabled, etc., etc. Allahumma sta'an, Jayed. We said that there was that letter which was sent to him later on in history. In the year 9 after Hijrah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent out many, many letters to the different rulers, etc. And subhanAllah, this Heraclius, he was still in charge and he was the ruler of the Byzantines. After the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, when the Muslims were victorious in the Battle of Yarmouk. The Battle of Yarmouk, during the rule of Umar ibn al-Khattab, when the Muslims, they brought the Byzantine Empire to its knees, subhanAllah, Jayed. That famous Battle of Yarmouk, where the Muslims were victorious, a great victory against the Byzantines. Who was in charge of the Byzantines? Heraclius, subhanAllah, Jayed. Allahumma sta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we move on, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. So this year, the year 610 of the Common Era, what was the great event which occurred? Not Heraclius taking over, but rather our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam receiving revelation. Excellent. So our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is at the age of 40. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ إِلَى آخِرِهِ. جيد. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً, that when you reach your full maturity and you reach 40 years of age. So all of the Anbiya, they were anointed when they were at the age of 40. And that's the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same. And so there's something special with regards to the age 40, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Excellent. Now our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe 6 months to a year before this receiving of revelation, he would like solitude. He would like to be alone, solitude. He would go to the mountain of, now it's called Jabal Nur, right? The cave of Hira. He would go there and he would like meditate and he would ponder. Jade. So he liked this solitude. And this Jabal Nur, mashallah, as you can see there, it's 620 meters above sea level. 620 meters above sea level. And you find that people, they go up there, subhanAllah, takes them maybe 2-3 hours to go up from the foot of the mountain up there and come back. 2-3 hours, Jayed. Imagine the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walking all the way from Masjid, walking all the way from the Haram, walking all the way from the haram, coming there, and then going up, and then coming back down. I mean, that's not an easy matter, right? Not easy at all, not easy at all. And further to that, ponder over the following. Remember when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam received the revelation, he was shivering, he was in a state of shock. He came down the mountain. So it's probably maybe, let's say, go with minimum, maybe an hour, let's say 45 minutes, etc. Okay, 45 minutes. And then walking all the way to Makkah, maybe give that another hour, etc. Minimum, you're talking about 1.5 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches Khadija, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still trembling. He's still shivering, subhanAllah. Right? He's still shivering. Allahumusta'an. And he was only after he was there in the company of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then he calmed down, subhanAllah. There, 1.5 hours or 2 hours, the walk, he was still trembling and still shivering, and he was still in a state of shock. But then being in the company of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha for 10, 15, 20 minutes, masha'Allah, walhamdulillah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has calmed down. And why the solitude, Jayid? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the dunya, he was leaving the matters of the dunya, he wants to contemplate, he wants to ponder, etc. Remember that people who are engrossed in the dunya, they are the least who are spiritual. They are the least spiritual. People who are engrossed in the dunya are the least spiritual. And you find similarly that, for example, as somebody mentions, that farmers are rarely atheists. Very rare would you find a farmer who is an atheist, right? Very, very difficult to find something like that, right? They are with nature. They plant. They hope for rain. They see the rain coming down, etc. They are closely connected to nature, etc., right? By default, but those who are highly engrossed in the dunya, then obviously they are the least of spiritual people. Allahumma musta'an. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the cave there, and this incident of the first revelation is narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was not even born at this time. She was not even born at this time. When the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received revelation, she was not even born, subhanAllah. But how come she's the one who narrates this hadith? This shows us that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was married to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in the night time, etc., they alone with one another, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling her these stories. He's telling her about his past and what happened and how the revelation started, etc., etc. Jayid, mashaAllah. And so thus, she's able to narrate this to us and pass down this information to us. So she narrates that it was the night of Laylatul Qadr. It was the 27th of Ramadan. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the cave. Now, was the electricity there? No, no electricity. Imagine the darkness of the cave, subhanAllah. Maybe the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was awake. Maybe he had fallen asleep, etc. And then he's approached by this being. Jayid, first time in his life, he's seeing an angel. Allahumma musta'an, Jayid. Imagine how frightened, imagine how shocked our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have been, subhanAllah, Jayid. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is approached by the angel Jibreel, and the angel Jibreel says to him, Iqra. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma ana biqari. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was unlettered. He didn't know how to write, he couldn't read, etc. So, Ma ana biqari, I cannot read. And so, the second time, Jibreel holds the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam close, and like some narrations mention, like the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought that he might suffocate, subhanAllah. Iqra, second time, and Iqra, the third time, and then Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. The first five verses, خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Read in the name of your Lord who created. He created man from a cloth. Read, and your Lord is most honorable who taught to write with the pen. With the pen taught man what he knew not. Jayid, side note. This revelation here is talking about what? Reading. This revelation is talking about the pen. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam couldn't read. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam couldn't write. This is, insha'Allah, a proof that this revelation is not from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This revelation here didn't originate from the mind of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? What proof? How? That had the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam made up this revelation here, he wouldn't begin with something that he is not part and parcel of, that he is not in that category of people. He is not from the people of the pen. He is not from the people of reading. Jayid. So he wouldn't, had he made it up. Jayid. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jameel. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam receives this revelation here, and thus began the 23-year journey of this Quran coming down, subhanAllah. Iqra was the first revelation for this story, the story which will last 23 years, subhanAllah. When the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Ayman, she was crying, and Abu Bakr and Umar, they visited her, and they said, yes, we are also sad that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. She said, I'm not sad about that matter, they rather I'm crying because the link that we had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something would happen, revelation would come down, etc., etc. That has come to an end now. Allah musta'an, Allah musta'an. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the first revelation was Iqra. When last you picked up a book? When last did you read anything? So, right now, bi'ithnillah ta'ala, you promise to yourself. Repeat after me. I promise. I will read a book before the end of January. Excellent. You will read a book before the end of January. Alhamdulillah. We're not talking about the Noble Quran. We're not talking about the Noble Quran. Excellent, mashallah. Jameel. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he receives this revelation. And we find that some ulama, they pull out a fa'ida, a benefit, that the fact that Jibreel hugged the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam tight three times, that Shureyh al-Qadi, he said that this is a proof, like you cannot hit your kid. You cannot hit the kid when you are teaching them Quran. You cannot hit them more than three times. Jayid. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was held close three times. Beyond that, you know, you cannot reprimand or do anything of the sort. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Also, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shocked. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was perturbed. He went to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha in a state of shock. This is another proof that he was an honest and truthful man and a true prophet, right? It was not some grandiose type of, reaction. This was a human reaction to this matter. This was a human reaction to this matter, subhanAllah. And Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she believed in the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even before he believed in himself. How? When he told her what happened, she said, Allah will not forsake you. Allah will not forsake you. You look after the poor and you stand up for the downtrodden and you stand up for those who are oppressed, etc. And you look after your guests. So Allah will not forsake you, subhanAllah. Shayid. And look at the things that she mentioned. She mentioned those qualities that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had even before prophethood. Do we have those qualities even after Islam? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had these qualities even before revelation. We have revelation, mashallah, right? After revelation, and revelation has come expressing the recommendation with regards to these matters here, have we taken them on board? Most of us not. Most of us not. Do we stand up for justice? Do we look after our kith and kin? Are we honorable to our guests, etc.? Question mark, subhanAllah, Shayid, Allah musta'an. And ajib that the Iqra revelation came to an illiterate nation. The Iqra revelation came to an illiterate nation. The Arabs generally couldn't read, couldn't write. Very few from amongst them knew how to read and knew how to write, subhanAllah. But within a space of maybe 100 years, mashallah, 100, 150, 200 years, mashallah, the Muslims were the leading intellectuals. They were the leading ones in the different fields of sciences, etc., etc. The Muslim golden age during the Abbasid period, the golden age of learning and study, etc., etc., subhanAllah, Jayid. And so, this Iqra coming to an illiterate nation that the Arabs, it took them at some time, the script, writing down Arabic was not a developed script. They didn't have those dots and all of these things here and signs. This emerged much, much later on. Jayid. This also proves and shows us that the ammo, the ammunition of this ummah, it is ilm, it is knowledge. The ammunition of this ummah, it is knowledge, subhanAllah. And we already mentioned, this is another proof that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was honest. He was a true prophet, not a fake. And that this is from Allah, because it begins with Iqra and it talks about a pen, which the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not any of those. SubhanAllah. Jahid. Soon after, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had visited her cousin by the name of Waraqa ibn Nawfal, or she had taken the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to him. And when he heard about this matter here, he said that what you saw was this great Namus, the keeper of secrets that had previously come to Musa alayhi salam, and your people will kick you out, and I wish I was young, I will help you and assist you, etc. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shocked. What do you mean my people will kick me out? They call me Al-Amin. What will you kick me out, etc.? Nobody's come with what you will be coming with, except that they will go through tough times. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. The fact that Waraqa said to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that your people will kick you out. Ponder over this. Your people will kick you out. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam felt that that was a bit far-fetched. Why? Because they love him. Because he's so good and they call him Al-Amin and everybody likes him and all of these things here. And he comes from this prestigious family who's in charge of the Kaaba. And it was his great-grandfather, the one who refound the Zamzam and all of these matters. It's his great-grandfather, the one who said to Abraha that I'm worried about my camels and I'm not worried about the house and Allah will protect his house, etc. So he comes from this very prestigious family, but Waraqa says your people will kick you out. This shows us that in the path of da'wah, your akhlaq and all of this here, even if it is perfect, you will still go through trials and tribulations. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq and manners and all of this, they could testify with regards to all of that. But still, in the path of da'wah, you will go through tough times. How they called him from Muhammad, now they started to call him Muthammam, the dispraised one, the disliked one, the dispraised one. Allahumma sta'an, Allahumma sta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. With regards to Waraqa, it is said that his sister was this woman by the name of Qutayla, who had previously proposed to Abdullah, the father of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is said that Waraqa's sister by the name of Qutayla, she was the one who proposed to Abdullah, the father of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he did not accept that proposal. We also learn from this here that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was there in solitude and pondering and contemplating the importance of having your own me time, as we might call it, me time, whether it's in the month of Ramadan, in i'tikaf, whether it's the time of the hajjud, when people are asleep, etc., you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's the time between the adhan and the iqama, you sit there quietly, put your phone aside and just sit and ponder, just some time for you to, rebalance yourself, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And so, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we will end off here, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, Jayid. So that covers the matter of the revelation. So, alhamdulillah, we covered the marriage of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. We covered the rebuilding of the Kaaba, masha'Allah, tabarakallah. And then we touched upon Heraclius, a little bit of information with regards to Heraclius. And then we went on to the first revelation. Also, take note, subhanAllah. Something that's not really too common, but for example, Ibn Ishaq and Ibn Hisham, the early historians, the very famous books of Sirah that we have, the earliest of them, Ibn Ishaq mentions that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this first revelation here, that it occurred in a dream. And he doesn't even mention the narration that we went through, which Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave, and then he was approached by the angel Jibreel, that he was awake. Right? That's the narration of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. But Ibn Ishaq mentions, he doesn't touch upon this narration, but he mentions something else. He mentions that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asleep, and then he was approached by the angel Jibreel, and thus this occurred in a dream. This occurred in a dream, and also mentions that his family was with him, meaning that Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was also with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that she was not in Mecca, whether she was there in the cave or where or not, but she was with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time. And maybe not necessarily a witness to the revelation, she was not, but she was with him in that area. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Also, Ibn Ishaq mentions that it was then Khadija who went to Waraqa ibn Nawfal and spoke to him and stuff like this. And not that she took the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Waraqa. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Waraqa later on. So the two different meetings with Waraqa here. Khadija went to Waraqa herself and she spoke, etc., etc. And then later on, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets up with Waraqa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Until we meet again, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we end off here bi'iznillahi ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah to record our sitting and our scales of good deeds. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. On that day when nobody's wealth and health and family will be able to avail them, except the one who comes to Allah with a heart which is sound. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us safe and keep us healthy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala those friends and family and acquaintances who have passed away due to the pandemic, the COVID pandemic. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them Jannatul Firdaus. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.